Let's turn God's word tonight to Matthew chapter 9, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9. And we're commencing to read at verse number 9. Some of the young people were over in Randallstown on Friday night at a youth rally, and I was leading the meeting, and the minister got up to preach, and he says, "We'll turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9. My heart sank, for I thought, I have a message prepared already, but it's going to be different, so that's okay. Maybe somebody needs to hear it twice. And then Mr. McRae last night was preaching on Follow Me also from a different passage, so somebody's hearing it three times. So we hope and pray you'll take heed to the word of God. But this definitely is a message that God has laid in my heart for tonight, and I know that with assurance. And therefore, let's read from Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." With God's word open before us, we're going to pray. You ask the Lord just within your own heart to speak to you tonight, that he would have a message for your soul and that he would give help in the delivery of his precious word. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for everything that's taken place tonight in the house of God. We thank thee for the hymns that we've been singing, the courses and the praises. We praise you. We can say with all assurance tonight, those who are saved, Christ is the King of all kings. We thank you. We can say we're under the Lamb, and we praise thee. We can say it as well with my soul. And Lord, there's nothing else that can offer that peace and satisfaction and joy and contentment in this world other than the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee we're still in the day of grace. We thank thee there's a Savior who died in Calvary's tree and shed his precious blood, that men and women and boys and girls might be saved, pardoned, and cleansed from their sin. And I do pray, Lord, for each one in this gathering tonight, if there are those who are saved, Lord, bless them as they hear once again the message of the gospel. Thrill their hearts that they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are following him, they're recipients of the grace of God. If there are those who are cold tonight and backslidden, oh Lord, I pray you'll take a dealing with their heart. May they afresh hear the Lord calling them to follow him. And may they leave their worldliness, and may they leave their idleness, and may they leave their bypath meadows and come back into the plan of God. May they hear the voice of God tonight asking them back into fellowship. And Lord, tonight for the unsaved, we thank thee for those in this meeting tonight and they know not the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We thank thee will hear the gospel. And we praise you, Lord, for bringing them tonight, and we ask that you will open their hearts tonight. Lord, perhaps those who have heard the gospel time and time and time again, and yet it's never seemed to penetrate the heart. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come and do that secret operation. Lord, thou wilt open the heart, and thou wilt let the word of God take root and bring forth fruit. We pray, Lord, tonight that those who come into this church as sinners will leave as saints. Those who come in on their way to hell will leave on their way to heaven. Lord, this is our desire, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt save. Man can do nothing to aid this. It's the Spirit's work, and therefore we pray, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit and give me the power to deliver the message that God has laid in my heart. And I pray, O Lord, we'll see signs following the preaching of thy word. Lord, give us a token for good tonight. Lord, encourage us in the work of God tonight, we pray. And may thy word not return unto thee void, but with great rejoicing, having won souls, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 18 times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ says the words, "Follow me." And once he says, "Follow thou me." However, we could say that the whole theme of Scripture is "follow me." It is to follow the Lord. Even way back in the book of Genesis, whenever Cain and Abel were presenting offerings before the Lord, Abel made a sacrifice that the Lord accepted. What was Abel doing at that time? Abel was following the Lord. Whenever Noah built that ark at God's command, and whenever Noah preached the gospel to those around, come into the ark, or you'll be destroyed, come into the ark, or you'll lose your life in the judgment of God, what was Noah doing? He was following the Lord. In the book of Exodus, whenever Moses led the children out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, what was he doing? He was following the Lord. The Apostle Paul got saved on the Damascus Road and he became a missionary. He went across the known world at that time preaching God's word. What was he doing? He was following the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, we read an account of a man being called to follow the Lord. This is an individual who is called to follow the Lord. And God calls individuals. God calls people one by one. God calls people by their name. And when the Lord is calling you, you will know it. He will make that very clear. God calls individuals. And if you're ever going to be saved, you must come to the Lord individually. You may have a husband or wife that's a Christian, but you must come yourself. You may have parents who are saved. You must come. Maybe even your children are saved in this meeting tonight, and you're not. You must come yourself. When I'm doing children's meetings, I often use the illustration. When you got out of bed this morning, or when you were in bed this morning, your parents got up, they went and they washed their face. They had clean faces, but you didn't. You had to go to the bathroom sink yourself and wash your face. That's the exact way it is with salvation. You need to go to Christ. You need to go to Christ. Every member of your family might be saved, but you'll be lost in hell for all eternity if you personally do not go to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. Every time the gospel is preached, every time God's word is opened and the word of God is proclaimed, the Lord is saying, follow me. And in this meeting tonight, that is exactly what the Lord is saying to you individually, up in the gallery down below, old or young, church attender or not, God is saying, follow me. I want us to look very briefly tonight, as we close our meeting, at the Lord's call to this individual. The first thing I want you to notice from this passage is the one whom Jesus called. There are three things that we are told about in this verse, three things about this individual that the Lord Jesus Christ called. The first thing we notice is this, he was a man. That might seem like a very simple thing, it might seem like a very basic thing, a very elementary thing that we can overlook, but if you read that verse, it says, Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man. Now that's very interesting because it means that every single person in this meeting tonight can identify with Matthew. Because that word man means of the human race. He was a human being. And there are some things that are true of every human being, no matter your creed or your color. There are some things that are always true. For example, God's word says that God made man in his own image. God's word says that God made man from the dust of the ground. God breathed life into man and he became a living soul. If you've ever taken time to read God's word and you've gone to Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that man sinned against God. A man disobeyed God, falling from that wonderful place that he stood in fellowship with God. And because of that, every man born into this world was born as a sinner. If you've never been saved, if you've never been to Christ, if you've never repented and asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, then you are a sinner in this meeting tonight. That is your condition. That is how you stand. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, and we are sinners by practice. God's word tells us some other things about man. It says, man born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And because of sin in the world, we face hardships and we face trials and we face difficulties and we face trouble because sin has entered into the world. Psalm 103 tells us, as for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And what does that teach us? If you can call yourself a man tonight, a human being, then it teaches us this, that you have a limited time in this earth. You're not here forever. As you go out of this building tonight, you can look across to your right-hand side and you'll see a graveyard. And that is a testimony to the fact that man does not live forever on this earth. Man has an allotted time. God has appointed a time for you to live on this earth. There's a time appointed for your birth, and there's a time appointed for your death. And you cannot go beyond either bound. You will live on this earth as long as the Lord God permits you to live, but it is a limited time. You have a soul. You have a soul within your body. And that soul will never die. That soul you received when the Lord created you within your mother's womb was given into your body. And when this body falls cold upon the earth in death, your soul will go out into God's eternity. Your soul, your faculties, your mind, your heart will live on forever in God's eternity. And perhaps you've never taken time ever to consider death or to consider your soul or to consider eternity. I ask you to stop right now where you are, and I want you to think about eternity. If this night should be the night that you will die, if this night should be the night that the Lord calls you from this scene of time, where will your soul be in eternity? You see, man must be prepared to meet God. I want you to notice, secondly, here that he wasn't only a man, but he was a known man. He was known to God. Because the Bible says there, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man, an individual, named Matthew. Now, the Lord knew about this man. Matthew means a gift of God or the gift of Jehovah. Do you know, it wasn't by chance that the Lord passed that way that day. It wasn't by chance that the Lord happened upon Matthew, but the Lord was fulfilling a heaven-planned appointment. God had ordained and planned that he would meet this man. He would stop this man in his sinful tracks. He would save him, and he would use him for his glory. Can I say in this meeting tonight, yes, we're all individuals. We may not know much about each other, but God knows us. God knows us altogether. God knows us thoroughly. The Bible says man looks in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And I can only see those who are respectably dressed for the house of God tonight, but the Lord looks down to your heart, and the Lord sees if you have a heart that loves him, a heart that's been pardoned from your sin, or the Lord sees if your heart is still full of sin and wickedness. I would go also further than that. I would say you're here for a purpose tonight. I don't believe in chance, but I believe God ordains the lives of men and women. And it's no chance tonight you're in a gospel evening service. Perhaps tonight it's the last place you want to be. Perhaps you can't wait till it's over and you get out of here. But I believe God has you here for a purpose. God had you here to hear the messages and song. God has you here tonight to hear this message that there's a Savior who can save from sin. And I would urge you tonight, listen carefully. Hear the voice of God. And listen to what he would say to you tonight. He was a man. He was known to God. But I want you to notice, thirdly, he was engaged in sinful activity. Because it says there he was sitting at the seat of custom. Or at the receipt of custom. Now, the receipt of custom, that simply is a description of his occupation. He was a tax collector. Now, people don't like tax collectors today. They liked them less in Jesus' time because they were corrupt. And they were immoral. They were cheats. They were liars. They were stealing from people. A tax collector would have said, you owe £5 and given £3 to the government and kept two for himself. They were well known for doing that. They were despised. They were looked down upon. They were hated in society. He was someone who was despised because of his occupation and someone who was despised because of his actions. In fact, you'll find in God's word the terminology sinners and publicans. That's the one that's highlighted. Not the harlot, but the publican, was highlighted as a great sinner. You'll find he was sitting there, and of course that simply means he was taken up with his work. He was occupied with that. That's what he lived for. That was the central purpose of his day-to-day living. Let me ask you a question. Where are you sitting today? I know you're in the house of God, but spiritually, where are you sitting? As the Lord looks upon your heart, where are you sitting today? Are you sitting in the peace of the knowledge that your sins have been forgiven? Are you in Christ tonight? Or are you sitting in the depravity of your sin? Are you sitting in wickedness and moral corruption? Perhaps the world despises you as an individual, just like this man, because of the life that you live, because of the things that you've done, because of the language that you use. Perhaps the world looks down upon you and scorns you. Perhaps even Christians have done that. Thank God there's one who won't look down upon you. But rather, he reached down to you, and he lifted you out of your sin tonight, if you will but come. Amen. Perhaps even tonight in this meeting, there are those, and you're not saved, but you're respected by society because of the outward life you live. And you're very happy that people have a good opinion of you. They think well of you. And yet, in your heart tonight as you know the Lord looks upon you, you know you are a sinner. Friend, whether you're despised tonight, whether you're respected, whether you're put down or exalted in this life, the message of God is still the same for men and women and boys and girls. Follow me. Follow Christ. Come to the Savior. I want us to look secondly here tonight at the call. The call was a very simple one that the Lord Jesus made. It was simply this: follow me. Follow me. Now, the word follow comes from a word which means road. And therefore, what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to him, come and walk with me. Follow me on the journey of life. Follow my path. Follow my footsteps. Follow my way. It simply means to accompany someone as a disciple, as a learner, as someone who has surrendered all. What did Jesus mean when he said, follow me? What does Jesus mean tonight when he says to you, follow me? Well, I believe that the Lord desired Matthew to follow him in his teachings. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He did it through the work on the cross of Calvary. But he tells us that man and woman are saved through the preaching of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself was a gospel preacher. The Lord Jesus Christ himself wholly preached the gospel. In fact, you will find that the thing he pointed out to the Pharisees in verse number 13 was this, that he had not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ preached repentance, and that's what he was asking Matthew to do. Follow me in my teaching. What did the Lord teach? Repent. Repent from your sin. Turn from your sin. In fact, that is the very first message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached in the New Testament. It was repent. Turn away from your sin. I read this week, and I thought it was very good, so I'm just going to read it to you. It's about repentance. It says, repentance is not a case of you trying your best to put right the sin in your life. But rather, repentance means that the sinner, conscious of his guilt and aware of the mercy of God in Christ, turns from his sin. Repentance means more than being sorry for your sin, for it's possible to be sorry for the trouble and the distress that sin has caused you without giving the slightest thought to what has gone to God. All sin is against God. It robs him of honor and glory. And the truly repentant sinner grieves over this aspect more than anything else. He has sinned against God, and he knows it. The work of the Holy Spirit in the sinner causes a change in his entire attitude toward God and his claims on his life. Sin is seen for what it really is. It's not a character defect, but it's a permanent state of rebellion against the love and the care and the righteous authority of a holy God. In other words, you've lived your life, and you didn't care what God thought. And you didn't care that your sin offended God. And you didn't care what you did or who you harmed, as long as you were serving self and fulfilling every desire that you have within your body. But you see, whenever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on a man or a woman's life, then a person becomes grieved over this aspect of sin. My sin offends God. And I wonder tonight in this meeting, have you ever stopped to consider your life and realize that your life without Christ is offensive to God? You've offended God. You've robbed God of the glory and the honor that's due to his name. You've robbed him of the praises that your lips ought to be singing. You've robbed him of the service that you ought to be giving to him. That's offensive to God. Friend, whenever that grasps your heart, then you'll get down on your knees and you'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. Save me from my sin. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is one of the teachings of Christ. Another, which is very much in link with it, is belief. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? That's what he asked the disciples. That is what divided the sheep from the goats, that they believed he was God. They believed he was the Savior. They believed he was the Messiah. And in Mark 1:15, he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance and belief, or repentance and faith, are really two sides of the one coin. It's the same act, because when you're coming in faith and repentance, you're coming to leave your sin behind, but you're also coming at the same time to trust Christ to receive you. And that's what we need if we're ever going to be saved. We need to say goodbye to our sin, and we need to come into the welcome of Christ. Not only that, but the Lord Jesus Christ taught, and already taught in Matthew's gospel by this time, and Matthew chapter 6, and we read it this morning in church, about a continual trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord isn't just to be trusted for salvation, but to be trusted for everything. Every aspect of life, the material as well as the spiritual. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do we run the race set before us? Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And these are the preachings of Christ. Repent, believe, and trust. But not only does follow me mean to follow the Lord in his teaching, but I believe it means to follow the Lord in his footsteps. And anybody who will ever be saved will have followed the Lord in the Lord's footsteps. You don't have to go to the land of Israel to do that, but by faith you follow the Lord through the reading of God's precious word. Anybody who's been saved here has been to Gethsemane, because in Gethsemane, God the Father placed the weight of sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so troubled and burdened by the weight of our sin that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The anguish and the sorrow and the burden that was upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the Father's work in Gethsemane. I wonder, what about you tonight? Have you had a Gethsemane experience? Have you been to Gethsemane? Have you felt the weight of your sin? Have you felt the burden of your sin? Have you been concerned that your sin is something you can't shake and it's going to cause you eternity in hell? You need to come to Gethsemane. But it's not just enough to feel the weight of your sin. You need to go to Calvary. You need to follow the Lord to Calvary, because there at Calvary, the Lord bore the punishment for sin. You know, there is a punishment for sin. You can reject everything I'm saying tonight, but listen very carefully. God's word says that if you live without Christ and you die without Christ, there's coming a day of punishment. There's coming a day when you'll be cast into hell for all eternity because you have not received the Savior, because you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've loved your sin and offended God continually without a thought. And if that's the way you live and the way you die, that's the way you'll be in eternity. But thank God for those who will come to Christ. Upon the cross of Calvary, Christ bore hell for us, and he bore the wrath of God for us and the separation of God for us. Not only do we go to Gethsemane and Calvary, thank God we come to the tomb. And we were thinking about this morning in the service, because the Jews said, show us a token, show us a sign, show us the proof that you are the Son of God. And the Lord said, this is what will happen. You'll destroy this body, but it'll be raised again. And 3 days after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was raised. What does that teach us? It teaches us that God was satisfied with the work that Christ did, that the way to heaven has been opened. Access to God is open through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the blood that he shed is able to save sin. Amen. Able to cleanse from sin. Tonight in this meeting, you can be saved from your sin through the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed. Whenever we tell you can be saved, you have to come to a Savior. And thank God this is a living Savior. We're not taking you to a tomb tonight to let you see someone inside it occupied. No, there's an empty tomb. Amen. There's a tomb where there's no one ever going to be laid again. Because that tomb has been used. And that tomb has been seen in Scripture as a place of triumph where he rose to show his power over sin. Christ went to Gethsemane. Have you been to Gethsemane? He went to Calvary. Have you been to Calvary? He went to the tomb. Have you been to the tomb? Thank God he went to the throne. Have you been to the throne? The throne of heaven is occupied tonight, and he ever lives to pardon sinners from their sin. That's what Christ's work is. In heaven, pardoning sinners through the blood that he shed. That's what he means when he says, follow me. It doesn't mean to try and act like the Savior. No, it means to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive and take away this sinful nature and to give you a new heart. Our sister read the verse tonight. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You only start living when you get saved. You only start knowing God and Christ when you get saved, and that's the call he made, follow me. Finally tonight, I want you to notice the response of Matthew, because in this verse it says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Amen. He arose and followed him. He acted in faith and responded in faith. You see, he didn't just say, well, I believe that what you're saying is right, and I believe that what you're saying is true. He stood to his feet and he took his place upon that belief. He acted upon that which he believed. Now, I want you to notice that Matthew left much to follow the Savior. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, 28, which is a parallel account, one of three accounts of this passage, it says he left all. Yes. He left all. And if you are to be saved tonight, you must leave all. What does that mean? You leave everything that's against God. Now, that's not a hard thing to do. And that's not a difficult thing to do. Whenever you feel the weight of your sin, you delight to leave it behind. Lord, I don't want the guilt of my sin. I don't want the shame of my sin. I don't want the burden of my sin. I don't want the fear of my sin coming before me when I stand before God. Lord, I leave it behind. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. And he followed Christ. And by doing so, he was testifying, I believe he is the Son of the living God. I believe he will supply all my need. I believe he's the Savior, and I believe everything I need is found in him. Now, friends, we bring our meeting to a conclusion tonight. The reality is that each one of you in this meeting, including myself, we're following something. We're following something. And whenever we read Scripture, it brings it down to one of two people. Because in this meeting tonight, you're either following Christ because you've been saved, or you're following Satan. The man doesn't like to hear that. That's offensive to me. Don't tell me I'm following Satan. I try to live a good life. I do my best. I go to church. I'm a good husband, wife, mother, father. There are only two masters. There are only two ways. There are only two eternal destinations. One is found by following Christ. The other is found by following Satan. That road leads to hell. And the sad reality is there are many who are so blinded by Satan that they hear they're on their way to hell. And it doesn't cost them a thought. They live their life, as Proverbs 1:16 says, their feet run to evil. They can't get enough of sin. Friend, little do they know that one day they'll be in hell for all eternity, damned without any respite, without any end. Because they've embraced sin with their heart and with their mind. No thought of consequences. No thought for the soul. No thought for eternity. But listen to the call of God in Scripture tonight. Follow me. You say to me, is that for me? Do I have to follow the Lord? What right have you to stand in that pulpit tonight and tell me that I have to follow the Lord? What right do you have to stand here? Well, I have absolutely no right other than the authority of the Word of God. Because in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then it goes on to say, because. And here's the reason. Friend, we're not trying to make your life misery. We're not trying to burden you. We're trying to tell you that there's coming a day when you will stand before God. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll stand before God. You'll stand before God. We'll all stand before God. And on that day, if you're in your sin, you'll be cast to hell for all eternity. But thank God, if you're in Christ, you'll be welcomed into heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest. God commands you to repent. I'm simply a spokesman tonight. If my voice falls to the ground, that's fine. But listen to the voice of God. He calls you to repent tonight. I want to finish off with one verse of Scripture. It's found in 1 Kings 18:21. And it says, Elijah came unto all the people. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Now in this passage, God's servant stood before Christ just like this. And he commanded them, if God is who he says he is, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. What was the choice that day? It was either Christ or sin. Christ or the world. Christ or self. You see, Elijah said, how long? A friend, that reminds us of the brevity of life. How many meetings have you attended? Many gospel services have you been in? Many Sabbath school or Sunday school classes have you been taught in? Many gospel missions have you been in? And yet tonight you're still halting between two opinions. How long? It reminds us of the brevity of life. Life is not forever. One day, this earthly tent will be folded up. Our soul will flee away. What then? How long? Who knows, but tonight could be the night that you go out into God's eternity. But then it says, how long halt ye? And I believe in this meeting tonight, even by the fact you're in God's house, there's not one would say, I don't believe the gospel. I don't believe that there's no heaven or hell. I know that's true. I know I need to be saved. And yet, friend, you're still in your sin. How long halt ye? Oh, the wickedness of man. Oh, the foolishness of man. Christ has demonstrated his love on the cross for you and for me, and yet you're not sure. Christ commands you to come, yet you say no. Christ desires your soul to be safe in his hands. And the foolishness of man says, I think I'll go a little longer. People tonight in hell, they went too long. They knew the word, but they didn't act upon it. My final thought is this, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Friend, tonight, make a decision. Make a decision. Because in this meeting tonight, you will make a decision. You will leave following Christ, or you will leave following Satan. Thank God there are many here tonight and they're following Christ. Friend, if you've come in your sin, will you leave in the same way? Are you happy to continue on your road to hell? Are you happy to be in bondage to Satan? Are you happy to continue in a life of wickedness that will end in an eternity of judgment? Because there's a Savior with outstretched arms tonight. And he says, follow me. Follow me and I'll save you. Follow me and I'll cleanse you. Follow me and I'll pardon you. Follow me and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Follow me and your sin and your shame and your guilt will be washed away. Follow me and you will be saved. Christ never asked a man or a woman to follow a church or a preacher or a denomination, for they'll all take you to hell. But thank God he'll take us to heaven. Who are you following tonight? Follow him.